Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, April 6th. Number of Permian quakes trend downward. Official says occurrence of earthquakes reached a maximum level over the last 12 to 14 months and have been decreasing since then in a real sense. The story was written by Mellon McEwen. Attempts to mitigate the rising number of earthquakes rattling the Permian Basin seem to be paying off. Peter Hennings, principal investigator at the Center for Integrated Seismicity Research at the Bureau of Economic Geology, University of Texas at Austin, said there seems to be a downward trend in occurrences. Occurrence of earthquakes reached a maximum level over the last 12 to 14 months, quote, and have been decreasing since then in a real sense, he said. Operators and regulators are adapting, using data and trends successfully, he said, during his address to the American Association of Drilling Engineers National Technical Conference being held in Midland for the first time. Those changes have resulted in water disposal being moved to other corridors less susceptible to seismicity, he said. Hennings presented a slide charting the number of earthquakes reported by the U.S. Geological Survey's Earthquake Hazards Program. Over occurrences in the Permian Basin was the number 200, the number of earthquakes felt and reported by people. Quote, that's 200 unique earthquakes reported by thousands of people, he said. EarthquakeTrack.com reported Wednesday that the number of quakes in the past 365 days was 187. That included 10 in the past 30 days. Quote, we will never be able to mitigate to zero, nor should we, he stated. Our goal should be to mitigate the earthquakes that matter, the ones people experience, and that's what we're trying to do. End quote. Researchers have established that water injection and hydraulic fracturing can impact pore pressure and result in stress changes and fault reactivation. Henning said conventional hydrocarbon development and resulting water reinjection has resulted in small earthquakes. The rise in unconventional development with horizontal drilling and completion activity directly touching faults has been shown to cause earthquakes in the Eagle Ford, Oklahoma, and the southern Delaware Basin. Quote, the big challenge is where you're disposing of wastewater in deep formations, he said. The rise in number and intensity of earthquakes over the past 5 to 6 years has come in part from that process, he added. The fault ruptures and earthquake energy release resulted in the 5.4 earthquake felt last November near Pecos, felt across the state, even in Austin, according to Hennings, and the 5.4 earthquake felt near Midland the next month. Looking at the state as a whole, Hennings said the Delaware Basin has by far the most active fault systems, while the Midland Basin is the newest on the scene in terms of seismic activity. EarthquakeTrack.com reported Wednesday that there have been 2,146 quakes reported in the last 365 days in the region of Mount Mentum, which is located in Loving County. The Permian's complex geology raises many questions about the causes of seismicity, he said. For one, how close can one hydraulic fracture to a fracture without disturbing it? For another, researchers are wondering if there's a long, slow ramp-up in pore pressure changes that leads to seismic activity, or if it occurs in a sudden burst. Quote, we need to understand industry activity, characterize hazards and causes, understand the impact of industry activity, and provide information to enable mitigation, Hennings said, of CISR's mission. High-quality data provided by the industry will help answer such questions, he said. Midland Telecom contractor relocates headquarters to Plano. Midland Tower construction started more than a decade ago in Midland and is now shifting its headquarters. The story was written by Steve Brown of the Dallas Morning News. A construction company that got its start in West Texas is shifting its headquarters to Plano. Midland Tower Construction is a telecom tower construction and servicing company started more than a decade ago in Midland. The company installs and maintains telecom towers and antennas in multiple markets. The firm's new corporate headquarters is in the Placid Business Center on Placid Avenue near downtown Plano. Midland Tower is leasing almost 7,200 square feet of offices. The building, owned by Kennington Placid LLC, is now fully leased. The office is near North Central Expressway and Bush Turnpike. Quote, Midland Tower knew there was a lot of activity on this space and moved quickly, Jared Lackey, vice president of Dallas-based Bradford Commercial Real Estate Services, said in a statement. Bradford's Lackey and Brian Pafford negotiated the lease with Jack Comendo and Cameron Rogers of Rubicon Representation. Midland Tower plans to maintain an office in West Texas while growing the Plano operation. It's the latest telecom-oriented company to land along the U.S. Highway 75 corridor in Plano and Richardson. Trump indictment reaction in Midland split across party lines. The story was written by Ben Schaffer. On Tuesday, former President Donald Trump pleaded not guilty to 34 felony counts of falsifying business records in a historic indictment as the first current or former president in U.S. history to face criminal charges. President of the Midland County Young Republicans, Cole Harrison, said the indictment is politically motivated and a glaringly obvious attempt to skew the GOP presidential selection process by scheduling Trump's next court appearances during the 2024 primaries. Midland Democratic Party Chair Kathy Broderick said the public's trust in the rule of law would have been damaged if prosecutors walked away from Trump's many pending cases. Quote, no one should be exempted from accountability and considered above the law, she said. Broderick added she believes there will be further indictments and prosecutions brought against the former president, specifically in Georgia, where Fulton County District Attorney Fannie T. Willis has said she will bring charges against Trump in the coming weeks related to an attempt to overturn the 2020 presidential election results. Also, Broderick believes more will come from the Department of Justice's probe into documents found during their search of Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate last summer. Harrison said the indictment, which he described as a politically motivated witch hunt, could end up doing Trump a favor in 2024. Quote, most people I've talked to about the situation feel that if the Democrats can come after President Trump on politically motivated charges, then they can come after any conservative that doesn't agree with their agenda, Harrison said. He said this will not only solidify Trump's base, but will boost Trump's support within the Republican Party. I believe that not only bolsters Trump's support, but will motivate the GOP as a whole to support a candidate who they view as a strong defender of our country and core values, he said.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, April 6th, 2023. Happenings. What's Up with Midland by Morgan Taylor Thomas. At Centennial Park, Tall City American Music Fest and Car Show, Saturday. At The Destination, Tejano Thirsty Thursdays, Thursday. Friday Night Live, the Texicans Band, Friday. Cameron Wrinkle, Saturday. Karaoke Night, April 13th. Louis the Singer, April 14th. Fourth Annual Crawfish Boil Bash and Competition, April 15th. Open Mic Night, April 20th. Friday Night Live, Bearded Strangers, April 21st. Texas Rain, April 22nd. Bring Your Own Blues Open Blues Jam, April 27th. Friday Night Live, Pump Handle Vandals, April 28th. Rock the Basin, Back to the 80s Party with Midland Community Theater, April 29th. At Fix West Texas, Who Let the Dogs Out, 5K, April 15th. At the Horseshoe, Thriving United Easter Brunch, Sunday. Kids and Cows and More, April 11th through 13th. 2023 Basin's Got Talent, April 15th. Innovex Presents Fossil Fueled, April 18th. Moto Extreme Circus, April 21st. Oil Patch Agility Club, April 22nd through 24th. At La Hacienda Event Center, La Mafia y Sino, April 14th. Vive Chihuahua Fest, 2023, April 21st. At Midland Community Theater, Sense and Sensibility, Friday through Saturday, April 14th and 15th. At the Midland County History Museum, Russell Lee Photographs Exhibition, now through Saturday. At the Museum of the Southwest, Downtown Midland Farmers Market, every Saturday. At the Sibley Nature Center, Spring Festival, April 29th. At the Tailgate, Giovanni and the Hired Guns, Saturday. Aaron Watson, April 14th. Roger Krager, April 15th. Colby Cooper, April 20th. Basin Burnout, Pecos and the Rooftops, April 29th. At Tall City Brewing Company, Beer Release, April 15th. Crawfish Boil, April 16th. Boss Babe Market, April 23rd. At the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, Rachmaninoff Masterworks Series, West Texas Symphony, April 15th. The Mavericks, April 21st. Blippi, The Wonderful World Tour, April 22nd. Permian Basin String Quartet, April 23rd. ZZ Top, April 25th. Nick and Desi, Broadway Song, Dance, and Romance, April 27th. Los Mas Masters, Zagar Ramos, April 29th. Easter Events Highlight Community Roundup by Stuart Doreen. Easter Celebrations. Easter Egg Extravaganza, 4 p.m. Thursday at the MLK Junior Community Center, 2300 Butternut Lane. First Christian Church's Community-Wide Easter Extravaganza, Easter Egg Hunt, 10:30 a.m. Saturday at Hill Park, 1301 West Cuthbert. It is the largest Easter egg hunt in Midland, with 50,000 eggs. Easter brunch at Midland's Longest Table, service and brunch, presented by Thriving United, 12:30 p.m. Sunday at the Horseshoe Pavilion. Easter Bunny Photo Experience, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Thursday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Friday and Saturday at Midland Park Mall. Community Calendar, 2023 State of Midland, 11 a.m. April 19th at Bush Convention Center. Midland Northside Lions Club 30th Annual We Serve Breakfast, 7 to 10 a.m. April 29th at the Midland Park Mall Food Court. Sibley Nature Center's Spring Festival, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. April 29th at 1307 East Wadley. March for Meals Walk and Resources Fair, presented by Senior Life, 10 a.m. April 29th at Midland College. The Phyllis and Bob Cowan Performing Arts Series presents Improv Under Hypnosis, starring Jonathan Mangum and Asad Mechi, 7:30 p.m. April 29th at the Shep Center. 14th Annual Free Aphasia Awareness Concert, 7:30 p.m. May 5th at the Horseshoe Amphitheater. Girl Scouts of the Desert Southwest presents Women of Distinction, 6 p.m. May 6th at the Petroleum Club of Midland. Basin PBS Main Street Live, May 19th, 203 North Main. The Beach Boys at Education Foundation, ECISD, annual concert, July 27th at the Ector County Coliseum. Midland ISD Bond Committee. Following is a list of Bond Planning Committee meetings, which are open to the public to attend. All meetings are scheduled to begin at 6 p.m., and future meeting dates are as follows. At Midland Freshman High School, April 20th, 101 East Gist. Yarborough Elementary, May 4th, at 6000 Riverfront Drive. Bunch Elementary, June 1st, at 700 South Jackson. June 20th, at a location to be determined. MISD's Bond Planning Committee website will be updated with more information as the process continues. MidlandISD.net/bond. Three non-Easter things to do in Midland this weekend, April 7th and 8th, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Explore 20th Century Life. Showcasing the work of renowned American photographer Russell Lee, the Center for American History, the University of Texas at Austin, and Humanities Texas partnered with the Midland County Historical Museum to bring a Lee display to town. Photos on display, donated by the creator before his 1986 death, include some of his most famous 1935 and 1936 photos, which depict political issues, the human condition, and more. For more information on the exhibit, visit MidlandHistoricalSociety.com. 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Friday at 200 North Main. Attend Midland's first Music Car Festival. Join Nashville's country rock quartet Little Texas in Centennial Park for the first ever Tall City American Music Fest and Car Show. Opening will be Cassidy Suter, J.R. McNutt, and Tony Barker, three Texas songwriters. The car show includes classic, sport, custom truck, and lowrider categories. A Best in Overall Show and a Best in Class award will be given out. Local food trucks and vendors will be set up at the park as well. General admission and VIP tickets can be bought at tallcityamf.com. Saturday, doors open and car show at 5 p.m. Music starts at 7 p.m. Watch a local theatrical production. The Pickwick Players at the Midland Community Theater continue to produce quality performances for the 432, their latest installment being an adaptation of Jane Austen's Sense and Sensibility. A strong sense of chemistry and comfort radiate from the actors and actresses, while intriguing and challenging topics such as death, love, and financial social status are displayed. Tickets to the show can be bought at mctmidland.org. Friday and Saturday, 7:30 p.m. at 2000 West Wadley. Odessa's chef Alejandro Barrientos wins Chopped by Mercedes Cordero. Odessa's chef Alejandro Barrientos from Curbside Bistro can add Chopped Champion to his resume. One of four contestants, Barrientos fried his way to the champion title during Tuesday's episode of the Food Network's Chopped. Barrientos whipped up a West Texas oyster Rockefeller, pork discada taco, and alo alo and nana fritters with snack cake milk and crispy chicken skin to win $10,000. His family and his community were at the forefront of why he wanted to win. The co-owner and executive chef of Curbside Bistro said during the episode that winning Chopped would be everything for my family, for my community, for all of West Texas. He added that winning will show everyone in my area that you can follow your passion and do what you love. The $10,000 will go directly to Barrientos' new nonprofit that will help feed his community. Curb Bistro is located at 3816 Andrews Highway in Odessa.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, April 4th, 2023, Education Department. Phi Theta Kappa is the oldest, largest, and most prestigious honor society serving two-year colleges around the world. The international organization is composed of more than 1,400 chapters. Membership is based on superior academic achievements and is conferred only by invitation to students who have a minimum 3.5 grade point average. The Midland College PTK is rated as a 5-star chapter, which is the highest rating PTK designates among its member chapters. On March 21st, Midland College inducted 55 new members into the Phi Theta Kappa and the Al G. Langford Chaparral Center on the main Midland College campus. It takes a tremendous amount of hard work to be successful in college, President Steve Thomas remarked. Community college students have numerous obligations besides school, such as jobs and family, to be able to maintain academic success while juggling these responsibilities is no small accomplishment. 1 week prior to the induction ceremony, 13 PTK members attended the Texas Regional Conference in Irving. During the meeting, The Midland College chapter received a merit award for their 22-23 college project, Models About Critical Thinking in an Age of Misinformation, in which students researched and then reported on how social media, fake news, and conspiracy theories can affect how society perceives current events and social policy. The students compiled their research and findings into modules that are available to every Midland College instructor for supplementing class material. Terry Gilmore, MC Honors Program Director and Government Professor, oversaw the project, and the project was led by Midland College BTK officers Maria Gonzalez Avila, Faith Lopez, Carlos Torres, and Elizabeth Witten. In addition to the Critical Thinking Project, Midland College members also developed and participated in an Honors in Action project that described the benefits of nostalgia and play in elderly adults. They presented their findings to the village at Manor Park. The MC chapter won the poster contest at the regional PTK conference for their work during this project. During the regional conference, the Midland College chapter's Fall 22 service project was recognized as the top PTK chapter service project in Texas. The project, which was spearheaded by Midland College PTK chapter Vice President of Service Maria Gonzalez Avila, consisted of PTK members leading a campus-wide effort to provide items for clients of the Crisis Center of West Texas. Also, Midland College Chapter Vice President of Service Faith Lopez was named one of the top 30 outstanding chapter officers in the state. Arij Coder was elected District 1 Vice President for the 23-24 academic year. This is the third year in a row someone from Midland College has been elected in that position. More recently, five Midland College members and Gilmore attended the American Student Association of Community Colleges National Student Advocacy Conference in Washington, D.C., where they spent 4 days discussing critical issues that impact community college students with 350 fellow student leaders from across the country. The contribution of Midland College at the Advocacy Conference was important for the students, not only at Midland College, but throughout the nation. Phil Clegg, Executive Director, said, "Their advocacy helps to ensure that students have the resources needed to fulfill their educational goals. The meetings and workshops held over the course of the conference prepared the students for meetings with members of Congress or their staff. During the trip, MC students visited the office of Representative August Pfluger, where they met with senior staffer Lisa Bell, a Midland College alumna." MISD opens enrollment for new and returning students. Enrollment is now open for families planning to attend Midland ISD for the 23-24 school year. The enrollment period is for all students, including those applying for pre-K or starting kindergarten, new students to MISD, and all returning students. Students returning to the same campus also must re-enroll using their Skyward Family Access account. All families are invited to get started by visiting midlandisd.net/enroll. The site serves as a portal to enrollment and application tools for students and families at all levels and has been designed with families in mind to make the enrollment process as easy as possible. The enrollment website includes step-by-step instructions on how to enroll using Skyward. It also includes a built-in Google Translator, which makes it easy to navigate regardless of your preferred language. The enrollment website can also connect parents to Apply Midland, where parents can explore different schools and use the school finder to determine their campus. If parents have additional questions, representatives at their campus can guide them through the process. Coinciding with opening of the enrollment window, parents should also be aware of the following. The second application window is now open for schools of choice at midlandisd.net/apply. Pre-K applications are now being accepted at midland.net/apply. Kindergarten Roundup is set for the week of May 15th. Midland College joins CC Month Education Awareness Campaign. Midland College will join the CC Month, a month-long grassroots education campaign coordinated by the Association of Community College Trustees. The primary goal of CC Month is to improve awareness of the economic and academic advantages of attending community colleges. Community colleges give opportunities to all students, and they support all students throughout their educations, whether they attend in order to attain an associate degree or certificate, intend to transfer on for a bachelor's or higher degree, or they take one or a few courses to learn a new skill or expand their horizons. President and CEO G. Chang Lee said, "Public community colleges are a uniquely American educational model that was designed to guarantee access to affordable, high-quality higher education for all people. They are the primary educators of life-saving nursing and other healthcare professionals, among many others. They also serve as an on-ramp to bachelor's, master's, and higher-level degrees for many students, and particularly for the most demographically and socioeconomically diverse students. They guarantee fair admissions for all students. They offer support for adult students who work and have families. Without community colleges, many American students would not be able to access higher education at all. In short, community colleges were created to serve the needs of their communities, and they do it exceptionally well. Midland College is vital to our community," President Steve Thomas said. "CC Month is an opportunity to demonstrate that not only should community colleges be the first choice of many Americans, but also community colleges are the first-class institutions that are vital to our local and state economies. For over 50 years, Midland College has provided education and training that help our community grow and prosper, and we will continue that endeavor for many years to come."
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, April 6th. Sherry Jean Holtzclaw, age 80, of Midland, passed away on April 3rd. Visitation will be from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Wednesday, April 5th, at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory. Funeral service will be at 10 a.m. Thursday, April 6th, at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. The service will also be live-streamed. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Sherry was born September 5th, 1942, in Tyler, Texas, to E.B. Boone and Era Woodson Boone. Sherry attended school in Snyder and later graduated from Midland High School in 1961. Sherry married Carol Wayne Holtzclaw in 1963. They had one child, Gregory Wayne, who was stillborn. Carol was her best friend throughout her life. They had 59 years of happiness together. Sherry was active in the Desk and Derrick Club of Midland. She and Carol served as presidents of the Midland College Booster Club and were active in the international athletes' lives and remained friends with many of them throughout the years. Sherry was preceded in death by her parents and her two older brothers, Don Boone and Douglas Boone. She will be greatly missed by her husband, Carol Wayne Holtzclaw, her brother-in-law and wife, James and Kim Holtzclaw, her sisters-in-law, Winnie Boone and Betty Boone Smith, her nephew, Gary Boone, niece, Michelle Moore and children, as well as her nephew, Lance Boone and children, Walker and Maggie Boone, and a special friend, Jeanette Garros. In lieu of flowers, please send donations to the American Cancer Society, the American Heart Association, or the American Diabetes Association. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Dorothy Atchley Huckabee, age 95, of Shreveport, passed away on Tuesday, April 4th, in her room at the Oaks of Louisiana. The family will receive friends on Friday, April 7th, from 10 a.m. until 12 noon at Osborne Funeral Home, 3631 Southern Avenue in Shreveport, Louisiana. Graveside services will follow immediately. Dorothy was born on August 19, 1927, in DeKalb, Texas, to Virgie Elsie Almond Ashley and Albert Ashley. Dorothy was preceded in death by her parents and by three brothers, Clendon Ashley, Almond Dan Ashley, Donald Hugh Ashley, and her sister, Mildred Ashley Babb. She is survived by her children, Paula Huckabee of Shreveport, and Pamela Huckabee Bird, and husband James Charles Bird of Homer, as well as one granddaughter and two great-granddaughters. Reverend Manuel Hernandez, age 88, of San Buenaventura, Coahuila, Mexico, passed away on April 3rd. He was a pastor of Templo Jerusalem Assemblea de Dios in Midland for 47 years. He was a devoted husband, father, friend, and evangelist. He is survived by his wife, Maria Hernandez. From their union came eight children, Manuel Hernandez, Victor Hernandez, Elena Casas, Armando Hernandez, Ana Jimenez, Lydia Hernandez, Samuel Hernandez, and Estela Torres. In addition, he leaves behind 21 grandchildren and 42 great-grandchildren. Viewing will be held from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. for the public. The prayer service will begin at 7 p.m. at the Heavenly Gate Funeral Home and Chapel, located at 405 North Terrell in Midland, on Thursday, April 6th. A funeral service will be held on Friday, April 7th at 10 a.m. at Heavenly Gate. Burial will immediately follow after the service at Rest Haven Memorial Park. All flowers and correspondence should be sent to Heavenly Gate Funeral Home and Chapel. Funeral service is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit the website at llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Margaret Ann Tucker McLaughlin, age 93, of Midland, passed away on Friday, March 24th. A celebration of life will be held at 10 a.m. on Saturday, April 8th, at Manor Park, Parks Fawtry Chapel. Ann was born on September 4, 1929, in Houston, Texas, to Sybil Wynn and Robert C. Tucker. She married James Jim McLaughlin on October 20, 1951. They were together until his death in 2017. Ann served on the Altar Guild for many years at the Episcopal Church of the Holy Trinity, where she was a member. Ann is survived by sons John McLaughlin of Dallas, Steve McLaughlin and wife Linda of Midland, David McLaughlin, wife Elizabeth of Houston, and Tom McLaughlin of Houston. She is also survived by 9 grandchildren and 6 great-grandchildren. Ann was preceded in death by her parents and husband James D. McLaughlin. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Hospice of Midland, Manor Park, and Permian Basin Area Foundation. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Ricardo Saldana passed away on March 31st at the age of 92. Ricardo was born on July 1st, 1930 in Brownsville, Texas, to Pablo Jr. and Maria del Refugio Valenzuela Saldana. At the age of 18, he joined the Marine Corps, serving for 30 years. He fought in the Korean War and in Vietnam, earning a Purple Heart. He retired with honors as a gunnery sergeant. Ricardo received his master's degree in counseling at Sul Ross State University, attending summer classes while teaching government and history at Edison Freshman High School in Midland. He retired as director of counseling at Midland College. He then went into private practice as a private licensed professional counselor while caring for his wife. He first met his wife, Mary, while she was working as a waitress in a small Mexican diner in Odessa in 1952. They were married for 40 years. She died in 2006. Ricardo is preceded in death by his wife, Mary Saldana, daughter Cynthia Cindy Collins, and brother Julian Saldana. He is survived by his son, Albert Saldana, grandson Alex Saldana, stepson Richard, and wife Toni Vasquez, as well as grandchildren and great-grandchildren. A visitation for Ricardo will be held Friday, April 7th at 5 p.m. at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home, 4616 North Big Spring Street in Midland, with a rosary to follow at 7 p.m. A funeral mass will occur Saturday, April 8th at 2 p.m. at 4616 North Big Spring Street in Midland. A committal service will occur Saturday, April 8th at 3 p.m., also at 4616 North Big Spring Street in Midland. Fond memories and expressions of sympathy may be shared at www.ellisfunerals.com for the Saldana family. Wilbur Eldon Bednar, age 88, formerly of St. Lawrence, passed away peacefully at his cottage in Abilene, Texas, on April 4th. He was the youngest of three brothers born near Marietta, Texas, to John and Millie Bednar on November 22, 1934. A grandson of Czech immigrants, the family moved to St. Lawrence and cleared land for cotton farming. It was attending school at Garden City where he met his love, Bonetta Cox, and they were married December 16, 1955. After attending a short time at Texas Tech University, he then joined the Army, where he served during the Korean War. After returning home, he began farming, which he continued until his retirement. One of his greatest honors was to be able to serve Glasscock County for 22 years as their county judge. He is survived by his children, James Bednar and wife Sandy of San Angelo, Tina Bednar of Abilene, Deborah Smith and husband Tim of Eula. He is also survived by grandchildren and great-grandchildren. In addition to his parents, he was preceded in death by his wife, Bonetta Cox Bednar, and two brothers, Edwin and Clayton Bednar. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, April 8th, at the Nally Pickle and Welsh Rosewood Chapel, 906 South Gregg Street in Big Spring. Graveside services will follow at 1:30 p.m. at Garden City Cemetery. Memorial donations may be made to Manuelito Navajo Children's Home, 12 Theta Street in Gallup, New Mexico, 87301, or Hospice of the Big Country, 4601 Hartford Street in Abilene, Texas. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Big Spring. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Jimmy Knox Arnold, age 77, passed away Saturday, April 1st. Services are pending. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to Pipkin at nts-online.net, or you can visit the website at LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com. Laverne Remelius, age 97, of Midland, passed away April 4th. There is no service planned with Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, April 6, 2023. Patton launches investigation, gets disciplined. Deputy director accused of violating city policy. 1 week prior to retiring unexpectedly and without notice, Odessa Parks and Recreation Director Steve Patton was handed a 5-day suspension notice for allowing his deputy director to drink at a work-related dinner and be overserved, according to records obtained by the Odessa American. Under the Texas Public Information Act, Patton was disciplined after he himself launched an investigation into allegations Matt Christman urinated in public following the dinner and recommended Christman receive a 5-day suspension. Patton, who has been with the city for more than 32 years, retired March 27th. At the time, he declined to discuss rumors swirling about a personal issue leading to his retirement. They have a future ahead of them. When you put something in the newspaper, it stays forever. It ruins their career, Patton said. Ultimately, Patton said he was retiring because he wanted to. He said he hadn't had a vacation in years and it was time for him to spend time with his family. I just thought the timing was good for me to retire. We've got things happening. We've got good staff in place, Patton said. According to internal emails obtained by the OA, Patton, Christman, Superintendent Edward Marino, Parks Superintendent Randall Anderson, and Special Events Coordinator Megan Henson went to the Texas Recreation and Park Society Institute and Expo, which was held in Frisco February 28th through March 3rd. Patton and Human Resource Generalist Elaine Ortega launched an investigation on March 10th, and Patton notified Human Resource Director Charles Hurst of their findings in a lengthy email on March 14th. According to that email, everyone but Marino went to a work-related dinner on March 1st, after which Patton got into his rental car and returned to the hotel. Henson, Anderson, and Christman walked back to the hotel about half a mile away. Patton told Hurst that Henson and Anderson said they thought Christman had had too much to drink, and Henson said she was so uncomfortable she purposefully lagged behind Christman on the walk back. According to the email, both Henson and Anderson told Patton and Ortega that Christman announced he needed to go to the bathroom, stepped off a trail, and they turned away from him as he urinated on a tree. Also, neither Henson nor Anderson recalled seeing Christman the following day at any of the conference sessions. According to the email, Christman initially told Ortega and Patton he didn't remember much of the conversation on the walk to the hotel. However, he did admit to urinating on a tree when asked if he had done so, and he did not think anything about it at the time. Christman said he made sure he was out of view behind a tree, but acknowledged that in addition to Henson and Anderson, another couple was walking nearby. Christman told Patton and Ortega he went to some of the conference sessions the following day, but couldn't remember which ones. Patton told Hurst that in all likelihood he'd missed some, if not all, of the Thursday, March 2nd, 2023 sessions. The email Patton sent to Hurst showed he was recommending a 5-day suspension for disregarding public trust as defined by city rules. On March 20th, Hurst and interim city manager Agapito Bernal wrote Patton a letter announcing his own 5-day suspension. It is clear that you and your staff believe the dinner to be a work-related event. Your role in allowing Mr. Christman to consume alcohol and to be overserved cannot be overlooked. I expect directors to give clear instructions to their staff members and to provide behavioral correction as needed while those employees are serving in an official capacity. You fail to perform either of these duties. In addition to reinforce your accountability for this episode of misconduct, I am suspending you for 5 days without pay. Please coordinate your absence with Mr. Christman's, the memo stated. The memo also noted that if a third party had seen Christman urinating, a different recommendation would have been in order. 7 days later, Bernal sent Mayor Javier Hoven an email announcing Patton's retirement and copied him on the internal email Patton sent to Bernal and Hearst, outlining the investigation conducted by himself and Ortega. This is an investigation that Mr. Patton initiated. I gave Mr. Patton the weekend to decide on Mr. Christman's punishment. Mr. Patton wanted to terminate Mr. Christman. This was a meeting Mr. Patton directed his staff to attend. Mr. Patton was to serve a 5-day suspension for his role in this matter. This incident took place in Frisco, Texas. Later that same night, at Patton's retirement, Bernal gave Christman permission to stand in for Patton during a meeting with council member Steve Thompson about Ratliff Ranch Golf Course. Christman started with the city in April 2022. He spent 5 years as a recreation coordinator in Marina, Arizona, and 2 years as a recreation superintendent in Columbia, South Carolina. UTPB offering masters in athletic training. Athletic training isn't just running out on the field to deliver water to players or putting an ACE bandage on injuries. Along with lots of study, the master's degree in athletic training at UTPB involves human performance, exercise science, and athletic training. Brian P. Bobbier, coordinator of clinical education, clinical assistant professor in the Department of Human Performance at UTPB, said athletic trainers have been recognized by the American Medical Association as healthcare providers since 1990. We are healthcare providers like nurses, physicians, PAs, and PTs, Bobbier said. The two acronyms for physician assistant and physical therapist. We're all part of this big global entity of healthcare professionals, and we just like everybody else have our own little niche. I work with other professionals to find the best job possible for patient populations, he added. Bobbier said the master's program just admitted their first cohort this past summer. Applications for the second group are open and they will make them up until May 1st. Bobbier said the program is considered entry level even though it's a master's degree. To a nationally certified athletic trainer, which is through our board of certification, you have to have graduated with a CAATE, Commission of Accreditation of Athletic Training Education. CAATE is the accrediting body that basically accredits athletic training programs throughout the country and other parts of the world. There are some in Spain, Ireland, Japan, I believe, so it's not just limited to the United States, Bobbier said. When you graduate from an accredited athletic training education program with a Master of Science in Athletic Training, you can sit on the Board of Certification exam. On completion of the BCE and passing the exam, you're able to apply for licensure and practice anywhere in the United States or those other countries where there are CAATE programs, he added. Bobbier said every state in the country, except California, has a licensure registration or exemption program. The program is undergoing the accreditation process right now, but once it's finished, students who complete the course successfully can work at the high school or college level orthopedic offices, industrial settings, or the military. Those are two quickly growing job markets for the athletic training. So Amazon WorkFit is another company that contracts athletic trainers to the industrial world, he said. Bobbier said the undergraduate program is a pathway to licensure in Texas, but you are limited to practicing in Texas. It does not transfer to other states, so if you want to practice in other states, you have to have a BOC. When you look at job settings here in Texas, a lot of high schools or clinics will hire a LAT, licensed athletic trainer. But if you want to work in Division I athletics, if you want to work professional sports, they want the Board of Certification, Bobbier said. He added that a lot of high schools want it as well. This past summer, I looked at all the high school jobs that were posted on the Texas State Athletic Trainers Association website. 26% of those high school jobs wanted somebody with a BOC in addition to the LAT, licensed athletic trainer, Bobbier said. Athletic trainers also can help save people's lives. That's one of the first classes they take in the master's program is emergency management, Bobbier said. Part of our training is spine boarding for cervical spine injuries. The creation and implementation of emergency action plans, the annual review of emergency action plans, he said. If somebody goes into cardiac arrest, the trainers know where the equipment is, who is part of the emergency action team, and who is responsible for what. All this is done at the beginning, actually, before the season starts. We would be the front line. Somebody goes down, the athletic trainers are on the field. We're on site. They're doing their initial assessment. They'll get the AED, automated external defibrillator, ready, Bobbier said. Typically, from there, it goes up the chain of command to get EMS activated, get a physician on site if someone's available, and it just kind of goes from there. It looks like there's a lot going on, and there is, but everybody knows their role, and it runs pretty smoothly. As we saw in Cincinnati with Dumar Hamlin, he added. Bobbier said a medical timeout is recommended before an event starts. This is required in the NFL. They call it a 60-minute meeting where the referees, physicians, the athletic trainers, the EMS, for both teams get together and go over the emergency action plan. Where's the ambulance located? Where are the physicians going to be? What equipment is available and where? Where is the nearest trauma hospital? How far is it away? We do that as well at the high school level. We do that at the collegiate level. We get all the medical personnel together and we go over the emergency action plan so everybody knows what to do if something happens. You hope nothing happens and you don't need it, but it's there. Everybody's aware. Everybody knows their role, Bobbier added. He added that he worked at a small high school before coming to UTPB, and they practiced emergencies every year. The coaches knew their role, and the emergency action plan was posted in every coach's office. The athletic training program by the AED, we had multiple AEDs on site, so everything is well prepared. And you see that on our campus and other schools in the area as well, Bobbier said. The master's program is 2 years long. There are prerequisites, but if you have a health, exercise science, or kinesiology background, that may help you. But in reality, you can have a business degree. As long as you have those prerequisites accomplished, you can apply to the Master's of Science Athletic Training Program, Bobbier said.